Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I love soundcheck. I listen every day.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Have you seen the new movie, The Place Beyond the Pines, the one starring Ryan Gosling? It features a score by Mike Patton, the frontman of the band Faith No More.
He raised me. Mike Patton raised me. You know, I'm the filmmaker I am today because I listened to it until the tape broke, you know?
Wow, director Derek Cianfrance really likes Mike Patton's music. We'll hear from Derek later on the show. Now, of course, when he says Mike Patton raised me, he doesn't mean that literally, I think. I mean, Mike Patton didn't feed him and change his diapers and choose the music he would listen to as a young kid. Derek's parents did that. Now, if you're wondering why I include picking music for your kids among a parent's major jobs, the fact is, as little kids, we rely on what our parents play for us. Our contributor Faith Saley has blogged about this at soundcheck.org, and we're going to talk about the strange tale of her parental playlist. And as long as the band Cloud Cult is coming in to play live, we'll ask their leader, Craig Minowa, for his story, too. And we'll want to hear from some of you, too. Because it's a pretty formative thing, those first songs you hear as a kid. So, joining me once again in the Soundcheck studio is Faith Saley. Faith, welcome back.
Hi, thank you.
So, how old is your little guy, Augustus, now?
He is 10 and a half months, full of teeth, crawling around.
All right. So he is still too young to choose his own music.
Yes.
So, how carefully have you curated a playlist for young Augustus?
You know, at first I thought it was a very crucial decision last summer when he was a newborn, like what's going in his ears? And then I realized I'm really saved by the fact that my husband has entirely different musical tastes than I do. So you know me, all the stupid country songs and show tunes, and mm-hmm. I play them, you know, Little Mermaid at bath time, and my husband plays them Octopus's Garden. You know, he gets Beatles and Neil Young and David Bowie with my husband, and then all the other stuff with me. So I've stopped sort of worrying about it. I feel like he even gets, you know, opera with my husband, mm-hmm. thank goodness. So.
All right. So he's getting a little culture there.
Yeah.
A little class.
Hope so.
But the point is that this got you thinking about how your own parents sort of chose music for you. You wrote a blog post about it for us at soundcheck.org.
I think when you have a kid, you start thinking about the choices your parents made for you.
Right.
Now, my generation of parents is probably way more into conscious parenting.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of questions I asked my dad, he's like, I don't know. It's what we did. You know, we were in our 20s. We had three of you. It's what we did. We didn't think about it. So last summer, I asked my dad, you know, I have these really fond memories of riding around in our family's camper called a Chinook. We didn't camp, John. I don't know why we had a camper, but it was super 70s, and my parents had an 8-track in uh-huh. there, and we'd listen to Olivia Newton-John and the soundtrack to Hair and Roger Whittaker. Do you remember?
Yes, I do remember Roger Whittaker.
The only song I know is New World in the Morning.
Since you mentioned your dad,
yes.
Why don't we let him speak for himself?
Yes, he has a lot to answer to.
I was going to say, Olivia Newton-John, that's getting pretty close to child abuse. No, I'm just kidding. So Faith Saley's with us, and her father, Bob, is on the line with us from Sarasota, Florida. Hi, Bob.
Hi there. How you doing?
I'm doing
well. Hi, Dad.
Hi, honey. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Do you mind answering a few questions about your curating my childhood music?
No, I don't want to give anything away. I have been on the line, and I've overheard some of the stuff you've been saying about me. I'm prepared to answer.
Well, I have fond memories of those tunes, Dad. But last summer, ended up asking you how you and Mom lovingly chose them. And can you share with John the story you told me?
Yeah, I guess like most of our child rearing, it was an accidental experience. We were leaving church one Sunday morning, and on the shoulder of the road, I saw 4 or 5 8-track tape cartridges just sitting in the weeds. Naturally, I pulled the Chinook to a screeching halt.
Three children lurched forward.
I got out and I picked up the several cassettes, and one was an Olivia Newton-John thing. Hair was there, and there were some serious songs on that, and we would not let you hear those songs. We turned the volume down whenever we played them. There was one about self-abuse that children just should not have heard.
There's a couple of songs on the original
cast. That was conscious
recording.
Parenting. Yeah. I do remember you would turn it down. Did you and Mom smile at each other when you turned it down?
And we listened to it later.
All right, Dad.
and Roger Whittaker was another one.
So basically, Bob, what you're telling us is that the music that Faith grew up listening to was discarded debris from the side of the road that you picked up one day, and that became the soundtrack to her childhood.
Exactly.
All right, just as long as we're clear on that. That's.
There was no conscious choosing going on. We were just free spirits, will of the wisps, as you might say.
Well, Bob, thank you so much for sharing the story with us.
Thanks, Dad.
And this is one of the parts of the Hair Broadway cast that I'm assuming Faith and her family were allowed to hear. From the original Broadway cast recording of Hair, that's the song Aquarius, in heavy rotation in the young Faith Saley's life.
In the Chinook.
In the Chinook camper, where you didn't camp. Soundcheck listeners, do you know how your parents chose the music they played for you when you were a kid? If you don't know, call them up and find out and tell us what they had to say. You can leave us a voicemail at 866-939-1612, or you can tweet your story at Soundcheck. Now, we've already put this question out to our listeners on Facebook and Twitter, and Michelle from Arizona is joining us now on the line. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. So do you remember what your childhood listening habits were like?
Oh, very eclectic. My mom listened to just about everything. Everything that was pop music in the early 80s, we heard it. But she also liked a lot of Broadway. We listened to a lot of salsa and Hispanic, you know, early Hispanic music, ballads, and a lot of Motown.
And some Beatles, apparently.
Yes, when I was very young, my parents didn't stay together very long, but when I was very young, I hated that song, Michelle, My Belle, because I think they just wore that LP out in my very early years.
So is it okay if we play a little of it for you now?
I have learned to love it.
Well, here for Michelle from Arizona is Michelle by the Beatles.
Michelle.
All right, Michelle from the Beatles for Michelle calling in from Arizona. We're speaking with Faith Saley, contributor to CBS Sunday Morning and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me and Soundcheck, talking about the music that your parents chose for you when you were a kid. I actually don't remember my parents making any kind of musical choices.
You didn't grow up listening to anything?
Not, you know, whatever they had there.
Which was what?
Well, I don't know. They had the soundtrack to some Gwen Verdon musical. Might have been
Gwen Verdon.
Yeah, might have been Sweet Charity.
Well, stuff. That have I you ever thought to ask your mom what she played for you and why, or why not?
Well, I don't think they actually played music for us.
Well, let's.
Although my dad had "Victory at Sea" by Richard Rodgers, his instrumental soundtrack to
okay.
the TV series, and I do remember listening to that as a kid quite a lot and thinking that was cool.
Isn't your mom's name Lorraine?
Yeah.
Can we talk to Lorraine about the music that you did or didn't listen to right now? Lorraine, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, my God. How did you do that?
It's Radio Magic, John Schaefer. Time to talk to your mother.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yes.
Hi, Mom.
I've been listening, and it's really bringing back a lot of memories.
All right, now tell everybody how I just got it all wrong and that you really did carefully curate what I was listening to as a kid.
No, but Sweet Charity was the Gwen Verdon album that we had.
Right.
Hey, Big Spender.
Right.
Yes, and we also had Hair, as the first guest talked about.
We did?
I don't remember
Hair.
I think everybody liked that.
Yeah, Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass. Yeah. I do not remember listening to Hair. That would have been way too
risque.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, no, we had that. But I was going to say Victory at Sea. I just remember how you and Jerry and Jimmy would wear your helmets, have your rifles, and you'd run around, you'd be under the dining room table shooting at the enemy, and you saved the world.
I just want to make it clear that my brothers and I, when we were in the helmets and the rifles, that we were only 18, 19, and 20. We were just kids.
Yeah, months.
Right, months.
I have to hear Victory at Sea. I don't think
I know
this.
Have you never heard it?
No.
It's actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. Although being surprised by my mom in the middle of a show, Faith, maybe not so cool. But, Mom, thank you very much.
Great to talk with you.
Here's a little bit from Richard Rodgers' Victory at Sea.
Is a grand childhood soundtrack,
that,
John. I honestly love you in the dust.
All right, Faith Saley, you got me on that one. Pulling my mom out of thin air in the middle of the show. We are talking
she
about.
She sounded very happy. You should call her more, John. She sounded very, very happy to talk to you. She loves you.
So we are talking about the music that your parents played for you as a kid. Let's go to someone who's not my mom. Brad joining us from right here in New York. So, what did you listen to as a kid?
My family seemed to have this kind of like a lot of Barbra Streisand, a lot of Neil Diamond, a lot of Barry Manilow. Want to guess my religion?
Zionist.
Yeah, Zionist rock. I know I wouldn't call it rock, but they also had a big thing with disco. And I remember
your parents did.
Yeah, they would actually go to, I guess now they would call it clubbing, but they would go to discos.
All right, now I have to find, I'm sure, Brad, you can tell the story eloquently enough, but I have to hear this from your mom herself, who is also joining us on the line, Brad's mom, Sandra, with us from Atlanta. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. So finish the story about you and your husband going clubbing.
Well, you had kids like Brad at home? He and his sister had a babysitter, and we loved to dance. We were just very cool parents, and loved to go out and have a good, still do love to go out and dance.
Uh-huh. And how much did you actually think about, well, this would be a good song for your little Brad to be listening to, and let's not play him this music?
Can I tell you, I didn't even think about what would be good for Brad. I was playing time.
She was too busy smoking bandages.
What was that, Brad?
Oh, she was too busy drinking tab and smoking bandages.
Those were the days. No longer. No longer do I do either. But I love the Bee Gees. I love Donna Summer, Gloria Gaynor. I mean, it was just very cool.
I think, Mom, I think you had Love to Love You, Baby. I think you had the long version of that. I think you had like a Donna Summer album. Mom, I had no idea that that was all about one woman's 16-minute...
orgasm?
Yeah, thank you, Faith.
Let's be honest.
You know, Brad, we are very liberal pair.
I thought, oh, she just loved a baby.
Never even considered what he was listening to.
All right, Brad, I'm going to side with your mom, Sandra, here. I think you had pretty cool parents.
Thank you.
Soundcheck listeners, we're talking about the music your parents chose for you when you were a kid. Many of you are probably parents now going through the same process for your kids, maybe in a more thoughtful way than some of the parents we've spoken to already today. Well, how did your parents choose the music you heard as a kid? If you don't know, call them up and ask them, and then tell us their story. You can leave us a voicemail at 866-939-1612. Or you can tweet your story at Soundcheck. We've heard from Faith Saley's dad and from my mom, to my great astonishment. I recently booked the guitarist Jason Vio to come in to our studio and play for us in early May, but apparently Jason simply can't wait that long to share his story with us.
Hi, Jason.
Hello.
Now, Jason, one of the things I like about your repertoire is it goes from classical to, like, Pat Metheny to, you know, things that touch on the popular music world. So you play a lot of stuff. What did you listen to growing up as a kid?
Well, my father really only listened to modern jazz. And so that was pretty much his criterion. And he'd just play it around the house at night. And my mother's record collection was entirely of music that you could dance to. So a lot of the Motown, Stax stuff, early Beatles, just things like that. So I remember one of my earliest memories is hearing from her record collection the Stevie Wonder For Once in My Life. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, for my dad, I mean, I think probably the most poignant one for me was the Ahmad Jamal Trio record that had Poinciana on it. It had this really hypnotic groove on it that, every time I hear it, it just really takes me back to when I was like 3 years old.
All right, Jason, well, thanks for the call, and I will speak to you and hear you playing here in the studio in a couple of weeks.
Thanks a lot, John. See you soon.
All right, here's Ahmad Jamal's Trio with Poinciana. Ahmad Jamal and his trio with Poinciana, one of his best-known works, and important to young Jason Vio. Faith Saley with me here on Soundcheck as we're talking about how parents have chosen the music, or not chosen and just done it, for their young kids. Right.
What did you choose for your girls, or how did you choose?
Well, I did choose, and I have to say, Faith, this sort of brings us full circle. I'm right there with your husband. My kids grew up on a diet of David Bowie and Neil Young. And if I had to pick one track that was sort of emblematic of the kind of thing that I would play for my kids, it would be Peter Gabriel. And
is it because you loved it, so you wanted to share that with them?
Because I loved it and because I thought it would be cool music for them to grow up knowing. And because I could play some of it on the guitar. Right. You know, there's
that's nice.
Many reasons to do it.
Which Peter Gabriel song?
Well, you know, his first album in general, and specifically the song Salisbury Hill.
Climbing up on Salisbury Hill, I could see the city light. Wind was blowing, time stood still.
Just a little bit of Salisbury Hill
from
Peter Gabriel.
I'm going to play that for my kid.
It's a really
song.
Cool song.
Yeah.
All right. So maybe a current generation of parents thinking a little more about what they play for their kids than our parents did.
But we turned out okay.
Yeah, we turned out all right. That's a questionable statement now that I make it. Soundcheck listeners, what was your experience with music your parents chose for you? Leave us a voicemail, 866-939-1612, or tweet your story to us at Soundcheck. Faith Saley, always a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank
Thanks
you,
so much.
John. Thank you, Mrs. Lorraine Schaefer.
I'll get you for that. This is Soundcheck. Gabriel's Salisbury Hill. To see what else is on my crazy kitty playlist, check out my blog post on the website, soundcheck.org. The husband and wife duo behind the band Cloud Cult transformed a family tragedy into an acclaimed album. Today they return to our studio with a new record called simply Love. And later, director Derek Cianfrance talks about his new film, The Place Beyond the Pines. This is Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The band Cloud Cult has always focused on big ideas, and their latest album is no exception. It's called Love. The band writes in the liner notes, "A life lived with intention on love is a life well spent, because that positive energy goes on forever." Well, in a couple of minutes, we'll hear some of that positive energy in action. But first, Craig Minowa, the lead singer of Cloud Cult, is here with me. Hi, Craig.
Hey, John.
Now, all this week on the show, we are talking about, you know, the music that you listened to that your parents played for you when you were really little kid.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember?
I do, yeah. For my parents, it was polka.
Polka?
Yeah,
well,
polka,
okay.
And they dance around the living room.
Good upper Midwestern family
yeah,
there.
Right.
And when you were old enough to stop listening to polka, did you? Or did
you know, yeah, I hated it as a kid, but I listen to it now, and it's
okay.
kind of
well, now here's the thing. I mean, you and Connie, who's one of the two people that we've come mm-hmm. to think of as the painters in Cloud Cult, your parents, Nova's 3, Iris is just about 1 now, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So what are you guys playing for them?
Most of the time it's kind of bubblegum oldies. You know, we'll do Tubby Time and have 50s and 60s rock, and there's big band music during lunchtime, classical music in the afternoon.
Wow, so you're really kind of thinking this through. You know, different day parts have different sounds to them.
Yeah, definitely. The early part of the day, there's kids' music. There's Nova's favorite CD, you know, kids' music, and we all dance around and... Yeah, there's really not.
What is his favorite CD?
It's Ask the Planet, and it's all environmental songs. But
okay, get them while they're young, right, Craig?
Although he did pick up on Gangnam Style somewhere, and he wants that all the time. Although he calls it Twinkle Twinkle Style.
So he is one of the billion.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You want to start us off with
Surely.
A song?
Yeah, let's do
All
it.
All right, and appropriately, this one's called The Show Starts Now. Craig Minowa strapping on the guitar, and we'll hear the rest of the band as well. Cloud Cult is the group. The album's called Love. It's out now, and this is a live performance of The Show Starts Now.
There's no such thing as time. If God is now and everywhere, why is it so hard to find? I wanna be the guy who lives in the moment, not so lost in my mind. So I guess my show starts now. My show starts now. Grandma said it don't matter where we go to or come from. She said, worry about what you're made to do, not what you're made of. They say we're made of chaos. I say we're made of love, and that means our show starts now. Our show starts now. The show starts now. The show starts now. And that's why your show starts now. The show starts now. Hold your breath for a better day. And you'll never learn how to breathe.
That's why your show.
You're afraid of the dark.
That is the band Cloud Cult, live in the Soundcheck studio. The show starts now. In fact, that's the concluding track on their latest record called Love, but that's a live performance here in the Soundcheck studio. Craig Minowa doing the lead vocals, although everybody's doing some singing at various points during the song, also playing guitar. And Sean Neary playing trombone, although there's a banjo nearby Sean as well. That's an odd double.
Yeah, yeah. It's but a recent thing.
A recent thing.
Yeah.
And yet, odd doubles, you're not the only one, because Sarah Purbix over at Our Piano is playing the French horn as well. Shannon Fried Rubin playing violin. Arlen Pfeiffer behind our drum kit. And Daniel Zamzow playing the cello. So, great to have you all back. When people call you an orchestral pop band, I guess they look at that instrument list and think, well, what other words can we use, right?
Yeah, yeah. All the traditional instrumentation arrangement, yeah.
You've got your string section, your horn section, your percussion section.
Just missing timpanis. That's about it.
Yeah. some woodwinds. It'd be nice to have some flutes and clarinets and stuff. Craig, the idea of, I mean, the first line of the song you just sang, you know, the physicists and the mystics, physics and mysticism, an almost mystical relationship to the universe, to nature, seem to be recurring themes on this record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when our we had a child pass away about a decade ago, and there was a period where we kind of had to throw all of our philosophies and beliefs out the window, you know, anger at the universe kind of thing. And there was a rebuilding sort of situation over time, and the lyrical writing process with Cloud Cult was a big part of working through that.
Mm-hmm.
And with this album, there was a recognition of that recurring theme that there's a purpose that we're here for, and there's a calling, and that calling is to live a life in love.
And there's also a song on the record called Love and the First Law of Thermodynamics. Now, the first law of thermodynamics, that's the law that says energy cannot be created or destroyed, only changed, right?
Exactly. So as a life form, we take in water, we take in food, we take in transformed sunlight. We're all just sort of these conduits for energy, and we have this short period of time to decide how we're going to transform that energy. And mm-hmm. that energy, when you put it out into the universe, it does continue on for an eternity and have a chain reaction out there. So there's a lot of power as an individual that you have during this short time here.
Yeah. Now, the other theme, the kind of this mysticism is a tough word to use. I'm only using it because your line says the physicists and the mystics. But you guys really do have, both you, Craig, and Connie, and the family, and at the wider band, you seem to have a real kind of connection to the earth and to ecology and that sort of thinking. Is that also a function of what you went through after your first son had passed away?
The environmental aspect was always kind of there. That's what I went to college for. And as a younger kid, I just kind of always had that sort of connection. So that has just been a part of the band as a business practice.
Well, and I should say that the album Love, I mean, the physical CD, it's a beautiful package.
Thank you.
And it's, as always with your band, it's like, what do they call it, 100% post-consumer product?
No, I mean,
it's
have
like
that complete post-consumer in there.
What does a post-consumer look like? There's a 6 feet under joke there somewhere that I don't want to...
Yeah, we're not in that age yet.
So one of the other things that you've become known for as a band is you're the band with the live painters. Last time you were here in the studio, I think it was probably Scott
yeah.
West, who
mm-hmm.
was doing live painting here in the studio while the band was playing. The band is Cloud Cult. Their new album's called Love, and it's out now, and they're going to play another song from it for us. This one's called You're the Only Thing in Your Way. It's the band Cloud Cult, live on Soundcheck.
Drive, baby, drive, until your trouble's gone. Run, baby, run, until it all goes numb. You are the wind, the flood, and the flame. Nothing here can get in your way. You've come too far to care what they say. Now you're the only thing in your way. Now you're the only thing in your way. Fly, baby, fly, till nothing can get you down. Sing, baby, sing, until it all comes out. You are the wind, the flood, and the flame. Nothing you can get in your way. You've come too far to care what they say. You're the only thing in your way.
You're the only thing in your way.
Once again, the band Cloud Cult with a song called You're the Only Thing in Your Way. Live performance here in the Soundcheck studio. Their latest album is called Love. It is out now. There's also a documentary about the band called No One Said It Would Be Easy, which is now available on iTunes and Google Play. And guys, it has been great having you all back here in the studio. Thank you so much. Great to see you again.
Thank you,
Thank
John.
You.
Up next, filmmaker Derek Cianfrance turned heads back in 2010 with his film Blue Valentine. Up next, he'll talk about working with one of his musical heroes for the new film, The Place Beyond the Pines. This is Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The Oscar-nominated writer and filmmaker Derek Cianfrance has built his reputation by telling complex stories about families and relationships. His films, like 2010's Blue Valentine, which starred Ryan Gosling and Michelle Williams, tell intimate and sometimes dark tales. Now, Derek is back with The Place Beyond the Pines, which also stars Ryan Gosling, and tackles the complexity of father-son relationships over the generations. Now, people who know his work, know his films, know that music is never a secondary consideration for him. Over his career, he's done profiles of Diddy, Run DMC, and Mos Def, and his soundtracks have featured artists like Grizzly Bear and Faith No More's Mike Patton, which is why we've invited him here to do a pick three for us today. Derek Cianfrance, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you. It's very nice to be here.
So The Place Beyond the Pines has a Mike Patton score.
Yes.
Did you discover him through Faith No More or Mr. Bungle? Or?
Mr. Bungle, yeah. When I was a teenager growing up in Lakewood, Colorado, one Christmas my brother got me the first Mr. Bungle album, the self-titled Mr. Bungle album. And I used to have a Mustang II, a 1974 Mustang II, which was had like a four-cylinder engine. And I think my parents got it for me because they thought it would be safe. But actually, it was so slow that it was dangerous. My top speed was 45 miles an hour. But if you can imagine me, I had like a long hair mullet, spiky hair on top, and I would drive around listening to that Bungle album repeatedly in my, you know, in my white Mustang too. And I listened to it until the tape broke, until the cassette tape broke, you know?
That he can't recall.
That same year, when I was 16, Bungle played at the Gothic Theater in Denver, Colorado. And I went to see him. And I remember seeing Mike Patton on stage. I mean, all of the band members were wearing masks. And Patton was on stage wearing a bondage mask. Uh-huh. And he had horse blinders on the side. And he was singing Time by the Alan Parsons Project to a room full of metalheads. And I was just blown away by how beautiful and powerful it was. And in the middle of the song, he got on his knees and he started licking the head of the bald security guard in the front row. And to an impressionable 16-year-old, he became my hero. And so I started making all of my home movies, all of my student films. I would put his, you know, the Bungle soundtrack to it. And then over the years, I'd go to see every show that he played, whether it was with Faith No More or Tomahawk or Fantomas or Maldoror or Lovage. I would go see these shows. And I used to always wear these army pants back in the day. And I would always stuff my army pants with video cassettes or DVDs of my student films. And I'd always wait by the stage at the end of the show, hoping I could meet Mike Patton and give him a video of my work, and in the hopes that someday we would be able to work together. And of course, I never met him. And then, you know, flash forward all these years, I was at WME, the agency in Los Angeles, and this agent came around and he said, "Hey, you got to meet this new composer I have. This new guy doing soundtracks. He's really amazing." I said, "Oh yeah, what's his name?" He says, "Mike Patton." And I said, "Well, stop." I said, "Don't say another word. There's nothing more that you can tell me about Mike Patton than I already know." And so I met with him, and it was really, you know, one of those opportunities in life where you have a chance to make a dream come true. He raised me. Mike Patton raised me. You know, I'm the filmmaker I am today because I listened to, you know, I internalized his music.
Now, did you tell him all this before you hired him?
Yes, I did.
Oh, my God. I did. This guy must have been like, no pressure, though. You raised me, but no pressure.
I told him I was a fan. But that's how we worked then. You know, I told him, you know, we didn't work in the traditional filmmaker-composer sense. I didn't make the movie and then give it to him and then let him score it. Mike eventually created like 42 tracks for the album and gave me all of them. And we eventually used about 12 of them. And, you know, Mike was almost like an actor for me. It was as if he was performing for me. Like my actors will do a number of takes. You know, they'll do 36 takes of something, and then I can carve out of that, you know, the performance for the movie. So Patton did the same thing, and he trusted me with his music. And, you know, and I carved it into the movie, and I'm very thankful that we had that opportunity. You know, I'm very proud of his work.
Let's hear some of that work. Mike Patton did the score for Derek Cianfrance's current film called The Place Beyond the Pines, which is a translation of the city name of Schenectady, which is the name of this piece. That's some of Mike Patton's music for the film The Place Beyond the Pines. Schenectady is the name of the track. The film is shot on location in Schenectady, New York, by my guest, the director Derek Cianfrance. The film stars Ryan Gosling, features a score by Mike Patton. It is in theaters now. And we have actually invited Derek here, although we've been talking about the film and, you know, Mike Patton and all that. We actually invited you here to give us a kind of a pick three of things that you've been listening to. When you go into the process of making a movie, do you already have, I mean, you have to put a temp score together at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very much inspired by music. I was a musician. I played the drums my whole life. When my wife gave birth to my first son 9 years ago, I stopped playing the drums because I figured I could only be good at three things, or try to be good at three things. I figured I could try to be a good father, I could try to be a good husband, and I could try to be a good filmmaker. And I'm already failing at those three most of the time, but I'm trying. If I added drumming into that, I would be certain to just fail at everything. So, you know, but music is a part of mm-hmm. a part of me. It's a part of my filmmaking. It's a part of the rhythm. I see I feel things musically, you know.
Well, in this little three-part mixtape that you've put together for us, we begin with Geeshy Wiley, who is a great old blues singer from like the late 20s, 30s.
Yes, yeah.
So what do you like about this song?
Last Kind Word Blues. It's one of my all-time favorite songs. I love this Depression-era music. Now, Geeshy Wiley, I feel like she recorded 6 songs in her whole life.
Yeah.
And there's an urgency, there's an immediacy to this kind of Depression-era music that I've always found very inspirational. Because what you have is these people who go to a studio for maybe one time in their whole life. They spend one day out of an entire lifetime, and they put down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 tracks maybe. That becomes their whole life. And when they lay these tracks down, they have one take. And that really influences me as a filmmaker, that kind of that limitation and that urgency of really capturing one moment. You can really feel an entire lifetime in this one track. And I feel like it's just such a haunting track. Yeah, I could listen to this forever.
It's called The Last Kind Words Blues by Geeshy Wiley.
The last kind words I hear my daddy say, Lord, the last kind words I hear my daddy say. If I die in the German war, I want to send my body, send it to my mother-in-law. Bag and kill, these are bare my soul. Ah, so just leave me out, let the buzzer.
That is Geeshy Wiley and The Last Kind Words Blues, picked for us by the filmmaker Derek Cianfrance, whose current movie is called The Place Beyond the Pines. One of the kind of great things about these old Geeshy Wiley recordings, this is not the first time we've heard her on Soundcheck.
Yeah.
There's a mystery because you can't quite make out all the words. You get just enough to that your mind begins filling in blanks and you just end up kind of telling yourself a story.
Yes.
As you listen to these songs.
Yeah, you know, I've never listened to lyrics literally. You know, I always just, to me, words are, the voice is just another instrument to just feel. You know, and I can feel so much in that voice.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's soul.
All right, moving on. Bill Fay is a fairly obscure name. I mean, Wilco fans will know that they covered one of his songs. But who is this guy?
Yeah, Bill Fay had recorded a couple of albums in the late 60s, early 70s. And neither of the albums did very well, and he kind of went off into he got dumped from his label. He's an English singer songwriter, and he got dumped, and he went off into nowhere for 30 years. So I'm interested in that second. Bill Fay has this great second act because, of course, Wilco, with their documentary "I'm Trying to Break Your Heart," covered one of his songs, and then Bill Fay in 2012, I believe, released his third album, 31 years after his second album. And you know, I think a lot about my ambition as an artist, as a creative person, and the thing I look for is the thing that I'm looking toward is longevity, the ability to continue to create no matter what life throws at you, no matter what obstacles are placed in your life, and to be able to later in life make your best work. And I feel like with Bill Fay, he's magically, miraculously been able to do that against all odds. You know, he came back and then he recorded this cover of this great Wilco song, Jesus, Etc., which I feel like is a really interesting kind of give and take between two artists.
Yeah. Derek Cianfrance, the filmmaker, is my guest on Soundcheck. Here's the second of his pick three from Bill Fay.
Jesus, don't cry. You can rely on the honey. You can combine anything you want. I'll stick around. You were right about the stars. Each one is a setting sun. Tall buildings shake, voices escape, singing sad, sad songs, tuned to chords, strung down your cheek, bitter melodies, turning your orbit around. Don't cry, you can rely on me, honey. You can come by anytime you want. I'll be around. You were right about the stars. Each one is a setting sun. Tall buildings shake, voices escape, singing sad, sad songs, tuned to chords, strung down your cheek, bitter melodies, turning your orbit around.
The song's called Jesus, Etc., a Wilco tune covered by the English singer-songwriter Bill Fay. Great story of the second act of this musician's life, told to us by Derek C. in France, who currently is telling us a father and son story in the film The Place Beyond the Pines, starring Ryan Gosling, and in theaters now. Derek is here with us on Soundcheck with this week's Pick 3. You have done more than just use music in films. You've done films about music and musicians. Yeah. Mos Def, I mentioned in the introduction, and Run DMC. Are you still interested in doing that sort of thing now?
Yeah, I really want to write a musical. I don't know quite what the story is yet, but I'm dying to make a musical because, you know, my movies are a little heavy duty, and yeah. I would like to make a film about joy, about exaltation, about the catharsis that I feel when I listen to music.
Now, you say you don't have the story yet.
No.
Which would come first for you? Would there be a story, or would maybe a mixtape of songs suggest a story?
Well, I'm in the middle of the mixtape of songs and the inspiration and just fishing, as David Lynch would put it in his book, Catching the Big Fish. I have my pole out in the water. I have a number of poles out in the water, and I'm they're all baited up. And I'm waiting for a fish to tug. And I'm hoping one of those fish that comes out is a big fish.
And what ponds are you fishing? You got something in the metal pond, in the folk pond?
I'm like up Lake Michigan. It's cold.
Speaking of Michigan, the third song on your pick three comes to us from a band out of Michigan and Chicago called Salem.
Salem. Yes.
Tell us about this band.
You know, I don't know much about the band except that I've listened to this album, King Knight, with this particular song, Trapdoor, on it. And I've never heard anything like it. I've always liked music that slowed down. And this band, Salem, is making this incredibly modern but slowed down music. I guess they call it witch house music.
That's the genre.
Yeah. I never understood the genres, but all I know is I never heard anything like this song before. But I can't stop listening to it. There's a party scene that happens in The Place Beyond the Pines, and I had to choose a song to play in this party for these teenagers. And I realized that these teenagers probably wouldn't be listening to this song, but me as the filmmaker, I couldn't stop listening to it. And making a film to me is like making a mixtape. You put in a number of things that you like, the number of the things that you're inspired by. And so I put this song into this party scene in The Place Beyond the Pines. And when we were mixing the scene in the sound room, had talked to my sound designer, and we had decided to turn it up to 11, like Spinal Tap. Turn it up as loud as we could. And the idea was, have you ever been in a movie and you're sitting in the movie theater, but you can hear the sound coming from the adjacent,
the other theater,
from the
yes.
other theater?
Yes.
We wanted to have this song, which to me, I've never heard a song like this before. I just thought that if you're watching a certain movie and you hear this song coming from the other movie theater, you're gonna have to find out what's going on in that theater. So, talking about catching the fish, this Salem to me was a way to kind of bait the audience in other theaters to come in to see The Place Beyond the Pines.
A little bit of Witch House music from the band Salem with a song called Trapdoor.
My expectation had my mouth full of dry. I see a bitch run, but I doubt she know why. I doubt she know why, but I could introduce. All it takes is matching and just a little juice. All your clothes patching, your braids fucked up. Don't look like you been paying too much. You could think too much.
Well, that is some very that's a deep ambience, kind of a dark ambience.
Dark ambience.
Yeah.
Yes.
The band Salem and a song called Trapdoor, which does appear in the film The Place Beyond the Pines, film by Derek Cianfrance. The writer and director has been with us on Soundcheck today, sharing his pick three with us. The film is in theaters now, and Derek, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Tomorrow on the show, Shuggie Otis is best known for his song Strawberry Letter 23, a big hit for the Brothers Johnson in 1977. Now the reclusive musician is back and he joins us tomorrow. Plus, Dominican musician Juan Soriano, the Duke of Bachata, plays live, and a preview of next week's Tribeca Film Festival. That does it for the show today. There's lots more online. Check us out at soundcheck.org, and we'll see you back here tomorrow night at 9. I'm John Schaefer.